All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
We will now have a moment of silence for the Arizona Coyotes.
Arms of an angel, fly away from here, from this dark, cold hotel room. And the endlessness that you fear.
An emotional show this will be.
It was
something yesterday. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day and into the Sports Closet studio. Three locations, BM.
Yep.
St. Albert Mall, Sherwood Park Mall, Kingsway Mall.
I'm going to all three on my way home today.
You can hit all three in one day.
Might as well.
I love going to the one in Sherwood Park Mall, specifically when I make phone calls. Did I ever tell you about the time I was in the Sherwood Park Mall and I actually didn't go for a phone call. I was at this one store, not Sports Clubs. I'd already been there. And I was buying my stuff and the cashier says to me, she's like, I've been wondering when you were going to come in. It's like, what do you mean? She's like, you always take phone calls and you always talk about it when you come to the mall. Like, oh boy. All right. Well, there you go. So yes, Bag Milk is here.
I'm here.
In the house. Jay will be here shortly.
At some point.
He came in and said, I'm going to be late at 12.
Yeah.
So
he was already late.
He was already late.
Yeah, we knew that.
He was already late. Let's take a look at what you're all saying in the Charm Diamond Center YouTube chat. Charm Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972 with more than 85 locations across the country through the Charm Diamond and their sister brands. Check out large selection of Charm lab grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing. OAC. Do you know what OAC means?
Oh,
Jay always tells us.
Jay knows,
I remember. Yeah. I'll ask him when he comes in. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com.
On approved credit as well.
On approved credit. That was it. Yes.
I'm here for you.
Christopher Palmer said, if you want to hear the voice of an angel, listen to Chalmers on a nation vacation. That is true. He was very nice around the campfire that one night. Dylan Holloway in the chat, BM, said, BM, can you sing at my wedding?
Yes.
Any requests, Dylan Holloway?
Yeah, you just got to let me know what you need. Put together a list for me. I will learn the words and I will sing beautifully.
Cody said, Canadian Idol begging for BM. Mm-hmm. A lot of support for that. It was, yeah. I wasn't sure when you were going to sing it because I thought it was going to be in the lead and then you just brought us right in off the lead.
Well, graphic. I didn't want to interrupt the moment of silence. I felt like that was, we needed to give them their moment.
Do you think they should have had a moment of silence last night? Let's get into the game.
It was weird. Were you watching it and not felt like it was a kind of a funeral in a way?
I called it a memorial on pregame.
That's what I felt like. It was almost like a funeral in a way watching that game. And I was, as it was going on, I was like, you know what? I don't even care if the Oilers lose because I kind of feel like they should have this one.
I said it felt like going to put your old dog down. And it was like, you didn't want to, but you're like, it has to happen. It'll be better for everybody. And I also have gone to 80 games of only predicting Oilers W's. I predicted a Coyotes dub last night. It just felt written in the stars.
I think a few people predicted a Coyotes win yesterday. And like, you know what? To be fair to the Coyotes, I don't think the Oilers rolled over and died last night. I just think the Coyotes played way better than them.
I just think their intensity was, and their urgency and their emotion and their give a shit per 60 was just higher than Edmonton's because Edmonton's looking ahead at next week. Like,
they got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
The Coyotes playoffs were yesterday and it was a one night stand.
Didn't get hurt. That's a W to me.
Yeah. Didn't get hurt. Everyone got out of there fine. Are you going to miss the Coyotes?
So here's what I wrote in my post game that's up today at OilersNation.com. I just naively, I suppose, just assumed this song and dance was going to go on forever.
I did too.
The Coyotes have been quote unquote moving for 20 years forever. Now. So like to me, it was always just like, oh, they'll figure it out. They'll find their fourth arena and they'll move there and we'll do this song and dance again in a couple of years. That's just kind of what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I was on that boat too. And correct me if I'm wrong. And we've spoke about it on this show before, but obviously they were linked to go back to Winnipeg when it was going to happen, when Winnipeg got their organization.
Originally, yeah.
But that Atlanta deal really just switched around on a dime, right? Yep. Like that was very, very quick and it just happened. With Arizona, like when we went down there, when did we go down? February?
Yeah.
It felt like it was inevitable from that point on. So it's been like a slow burn for them. And then obviously the last couple of weeks, Frank Cervalli breaking the news that like, this is it. Like they're gone.
So when we were down there, we got to the arena after doing our pre-game party kind of thing. And I just walked up to the main concourse where you kind of do your lap. And I look around and go, oh, well, the NHL can't fucking be here. Yeah. This is stupid. But like in terms of a game experience, it was fantastic. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
But like you look at the economics of the league and you go, well, this isn't going to work.
So I think they showed it during the intermission. They showed Winnipeg obviously leaving to go to Arizona. And then they also showed the Montreal Expos as well, which I thought was really random.
Dude, God, people throwing golf balls.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Very extreme. But like, you watched the Winnipeg one specifically, and Wanya brought this up too, like very emotional. Mm-hmm. You're like panning around an NHL rink, like clearly a supported fan base.
Yep.
And then you go to the Arizona game yesterday and they're like zooming out and it's just like a bowl, couple of sweets. It like the arena, like people are going to look at that in 20 years, even like 10, even tomorrow. I'd be like, yeah, no kidding. This team had to leave
4,600 for their final game.
Like I do feel bad.
I feel bad for Coyotes fans.
It's been almost 30 years.
28 years, 27 seasons. So I feel like at least 20 of those years we've been talking about the Coyotes moving. It was 15 years ago that Jim Balsillie, the BlackBerry guy, tried to buy them and move them to Winnipeg. That was 15 years ago already.
Really? Do you have any memories of the Coyotes that they'll stick with you forever?
I've said it on podcasts, probably on this show too. I went to a game in Glendale.
Oh, right. Yes.
And that one was interesting because we were staying in Phoenix and then we hear, oh, the arena's kind of a ways out there. And then you drive for 45 minutes and you go, oh shit, I got a 90-minute round trip commute just to go to a hockey game.
Right.
Makes sense. But I've said it before, the four tickets, $100 got you four tickets, four popcorns, four hot dogs and four drinks. It was the family pass and I'll never forget it in my life.
That's awesome.
Obviously just asking BM that question. Captain Felton, Captain said, thanks Aaron.
Well, buddy, pay your respect. Take my hat off, sir.
Yes. Mullet Arena. I'm assuming that's his favorite. And then also, I want to read this one from Doug Waite. Afternoon, boys. Was in Mexico following you. Now off to Korea.
Those are different places.
Who are you following?
Doug Waite.
Doug Waite has been, he obviously remembers when I took my photo with him at Carnival of Champions, probably in 1993. So he's probably been paying attention ever since.
If you've got a comment you want us to read about the Arizona Coyotes, drop it in the chat. I'll miss the jerseys. I think that's one thing. Like, I actually don't really care for the logo that they kind of were going with the recent one. What do they call that thing? You know, the dog, the standing up desert dog, yeah, whatever what do it's they called.
Oh, the yeah, I'm gonna
Karachi or something like something that, like isn't that. It? I think they're old jerseys, which actually the anthem single wore yesterday, the one who sang the American anthem, the old, like, what are the maroon one? Those are cool.
Can I tell you, yesterday before the game, the Coyotes had two season ticket holders, longtime season ticket holders, come out to do the opening face-off. And what a bummer thing to do.
I know.
Like, hey, you guys have supported us for decades. Come drop the last puck out and look like you're miserable while it's happening.
How about the one kid? I don't know if this was, this must have been post-game, but he was on the ice. They were doing the jersey off the back thing, which a lot of teams do. And obviously this one was a bit more sentimental. And he had a t-shirt and was like, my first Yotes game. It's like, yeah, well.
Maybe if you'd gone to a few more, this would have been happening.
Could have stayed a little bit longer, but let's get into
the Kachina. Yeah, there it is. The Kachina.
I didn't want to say it because I didn't know how. Let's get into the scoring summary brought to you by Service Credit Union. There's only 1 month left. Actually, there's less than a month left in the Service Big Share contest. Don't miss a chance to win $1 million.
Yep.
$1 million. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 save gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th, so get them in while you can. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. And here he is.
He's wearing a 4-5-0.
Right on time.
Having a conversation at the door, too.
Yep.
There you go.
Get it. I wish we had a wide camera just to see this approach to the show.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live. Yeah, we are.
I'm seeing a giant logo that says Oilers Nation every day.
Not because I have to change the camera.
But but the words you talk will go out to the world right now.
Hello, world.
There he is. Ooh. We're getting into the Service Big Share scoring summary, Jay. I guess, firstly, what were your thoughts on the game last night?
It went exactly as it should have. It was very poetic. I am happy for the people of Phoenix, the players of the Coyotes. Well, they got full.
Did you not hear the news? Jay bet on the Yotes to win yesterday.
Yeah, Yotes and over 6.5.
Well, it felt like a trap game.
Well, but like, it's just good juju. You had to bet on it. And so I did very well. I've got a nice padded account going into the playoffs. So
does it make you sad at all, though? What I was saying to Liam before he got here was just, I always thought this was just going to go on forever, that the Coyotes were going to figure it out and they were going to move to Arena 4 and they were just going to find a way. Five.
The reality is this is the move that needed to be made to keep hockey in the desert long term.
Okay, I'll buy
this
that.
This needed to happen. This shift, this move, it's going to come back. It'll be better than ever. You know, this is going to be some pain. And unfortunately, it's pain without hockey. We went through a decade of darkness of having a team that sucked. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to have a team. And like, that sucks. But within 5 years, I bet you they do.
And then they have to go back.
And they'll get the arena that they deserve. They'll get the attendance that they deserve. And hockey will be amazing in the desert. It's a short-term pain. So I'm happy for them that their team won on their last game for now. Mm-hmm. And I know they'll never be the Coyotes again, they will be the Coyotes again.
Yeah. He owns that name.
Yeah. He owns that name,
but they don't want that owner back.
This is the NHL did whatever they had to do to get that owner out of it. Cause it wasn't going to work.
How about the investment he made?
Yeah. Well, he's going to make a shit ton of money off of this. Like they did whatever they did. Million. They told him whatever they need to tell him. There's going to be a bunch of stipulations on the deal for him to be able to get a team back. And there's going to be a bunch of outs for the NHL to say, you know what? You didn't do it. We're taking it and we're moving. We're going to give it to these people and boom, there it is. But that guy got paid.
$700 million he made.
I don't know what he nets. but know, he's yeah. good at netting.
Yeah, his crap ton grosses when, significant.
Why did Atlanta leave to go to Calgary?
Like, to Calgary. Oh, originally.
Originally.
Jeez.
When was that?
Like in the 70s?
Oh, really? Okay.
No, so who cares?
Well, I was just thinking like that would be, because I know Frank yesterday. 1980.
May 21st, 1980.
Frank brought up yesterday like Minnesota leaving and coming back. Mm-hmm. But that is the state of hockey, right? Where like Atlanta is like a not traditional hockey market, which feels like the closest comparison to what Arizona could be. You know what I mean?
But there could have, like, not knowing the full Atlanta situation, well, both versions, like, I don't know if it's arena related or what, or ownership related, but like Minnesota was more of like a flex of owner versus league.
Mm-hmm.
And not, or owner versus city or whatever, not being able to get the arena that he wanted or whatever. So he up and relocated to Dallas. And then as soon as the arena, you know, came to be in the right area, the state of hockey was reinstated.
Right back. Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, let's get into the scoring summary. First goal of the game, Liam O'Brien. Great name. Fifth goal of the season, Valimaki, the former Flame, getting the assist. But I think the assist actually goes to the ref, whose heel it bounced off, which Philip Broberg did not see. And at first I thought, well, maybe Philip Broberg does not belong in the NHL if you're going to make decisions like that.
The guy gets unlucky. Some bad breaks.
It's totally. Like the one against Florida where he steps on the stick, dude. Like yep. He is just...
He gets some bad breaks.
Very unfortunate. He was actually pretty good last night. I thought he made some good rushes, yep. A couple of good chances. Snowed Connor Ingram as well, which he didn't like. But how about Warren Fogle clipping Ingram yesterday? That didn't seem like just... Like it was nothing, but it was like probably
avoidable. I thought Ingram went down like he got shot in the second row.
That's what goalies do.
It's true. The Oilers responded with his 10th goal of the season from Sam Carrick. A nice tip.
Beautiful play by Ekholm.
Oh, yeah.
Big Viking Daddy is just fire on all cylinders right now.
He's the ice, man.
He is the ice.
He is the ice, yeah. How about the intermission interview with Carrick about Ekholm? He's like, I didn't know much about him, but holy crap, that guy's good. And he was like, oh,
that's our guy. Said that.
It's all you need to say, really.
I'll say thank you, Ken, for that.
Yep. Arguably his best trade.
Oh, I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
The other one, obviously, Henrique.
Solid trade. I'm a big Henrique guy.
I love Henrique.
He does a lot of things quietly good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huge light.
I battled him to score last night. Didn't work, but. Matthias Michelli scored his 17th of the season.
See, I was going to parlay a Michelli point with my bet, which would have made it extremely juicy, and I bailed. But you're chasing the dragon here. And damn it, he did.
How about, Shane Doan was on the broadcast when this goal went in.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking, he didn't really seem that upset that they were leaving.
I thought it was interesting how he said he was looking forward to his son to kind of like build his own thing in Utah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind
of not Shane Doan's son in Utah. Josh Doan.
Yeah. But it is crazy how those two, like Shane Doan and his son, like their careers are so similar. In the like 1 year in Winnipeg for Shane Doan, 1 year in Arizona for Josh Doan, and they just leave.
Lifetime in Utah.
Yeah.
I also thought the bromance between Doan and Louis was adorable.
Oh, yeah. I would go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would go back. Yeah.
They played
way back
3 years in Phoenix together. I think
something Louis like that
was, yeah. The Oilers never got back into the game really after this one. Lawson Kraus, yeah, it didn't really matter. Got his 23rd goal they of got the season.
That's all that matters.
Warren Fogle gets his 20th of the year with nice an assist shot. Coming from Philip Broberg. He's probably going to get a lot of minutes tonight because it doesn't sound like anybody's going to play for the Oilers, but this was just a really good goal from Fogle. And the last game he had 9 shots. One of them hit the post, so he would have had 10 shot attempts, I guess. And just a really good finish from Fogle, who's had a very good season.
I'm going to miss him when he leaves, chase the bag on a shitty team somewhere else.
I don't think he'll go.
I do.
I think they can afford to keep him.
Oh, God.
But do they want to afford to keep him?
Well, who would you bring in instead?
Well, that's...
That's Holloway minutes, don't you think?
No, but he plays on the right.
Can't put a guy on a spot like that. We don't understand the free agency class.
Because the winger class is not great.
For so that's Fogle?
A concern then.
That's what I mean. He's going to go to chase the bag.
So it's basically Marchessault would be the number one guy. Stamkos, if he gets that far, and then Reinhardt as well. They're more centers, I guess, but wingers sometimes. And then it's like Perron, DeBrusk, Fogle, guys like that. So I just don't think there's much of an upgrade out there for him.
I need to put some thought on it. Maybe there's a trade. I don't know. but maybe like if you think he's going to take a discount.
I think they could get him for like 2,500, 500 less. Like, I think if he was to sign in Edmonton, what? Well, if he hit the market, I think
500
he
would, grand or 250? Yeah, 500 okay. grand.
If he hit the market, I bet he would get 4 million. I think if he signed in Edmonton, you could probably get him for 3.5. As long as you don't put in a no
three and a half, I'm fine with, but I'm fine at 3.5.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yep.
That's an
right. He's going to go try and chase 5 million.
A season like totally. That just screams 4x4 to me somewhere. Not here, somewhere.
I don't think they can do it here unless they get rid of Kane.
But then do you want to just dump 4 million bucks on Fogle?
No, we got to stop dumping money.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm with you.
We dump money everywhere. We're a money dump.
I wouldn't be totally against it. You know what he is with Draisaitl? Doesn't play power play. Doesn't demand a lot.
Warren Fogle.
Love him.
I love him. Is a third liner.
Middle six forward.
He's a third liner. And that's great. He's a great third liner.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's like, he's on a good team's third line.
Yeah. But you're probably right, BM. He's probably going to get paid to be someone's second line. Mistaken Mexican said, bring back the legend, Perron. I don't think they'll bring him back.
I love the way he plays, though.
There's another he's one crazy. In here.
Where's
too.
Tyler?
He's flying.
Oh.
He did an interview today with Kyle Bukauskas. Like, he interviewed him.
Ah, so he'll be on part of this
for tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So Kyle Bukauskas will be on the show tomorrow.
Best hair in the biz.
Great hair.
Yeah. Dylan Gunther continued to score on what was an incredibly weak penalty against Matthias Ekholm. Also a very late call, but this basically sealed the game. Really nice finish from the Edmonton product. And then Sean Durzi with his 9th of the season got the final goal in the Arizona Coyotes history. And then what was that song they played, BM, with a minute left?
The Arms of an Angel. You want me to sing it again?
No. The one they played, the one they played in the ring.
I don't know. I was paying attention.
Oh, it was
Howling something.
I can't
Howling
remember.
The moon?
Howling for you?
I can't remember. It was like very upbeat for what was about to happen. So it was a bit of a tough one for Coyotes fans, but I'm just going to give the end of the game, the Douglas Mattress moment of the game. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians, over 10,000 five-star reviews. You can order your Douglas Mattress today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. But Jay, we didn't get your thoughts on it. What did you, do you think this was like an emotional night? Like it felt like the Oilers were talking about it, but like the in-game stuff, they just didn't want to admit what was happening. Like the actual Coyotes.
I think it was emotional. I think it was emotional for the fans. I think it was emotional for the players because you knew they wanted to win for the fans. They know what it means. Like their life isn't disrupted. They just have to rent a U-Haul and put their house up for sale in a very hot real estate market and destination and move to Utah. That's and also now start staying in better hotels. Like the grass is going to be greener for them. Yeah. So like, you know, they may not have projected it or broadcasted emotion, but for sure there was emotions.
There's also
the supporting staff that isn't going to be coming with them. Like there's emotional connections there. So I think it was extremely emotional whether they broadcast it or not. And that's why they got the win.
Fair enough. We'll move on to tonight's game a little bit too. The first time we've had a back-to-back set of games midweek all season for the Edmonton Oilers. So I was a little unsure how I'm going to structure the show. So we'll do the game notes brought to you by Duragard. The Oilers are basically dressing their B players and their American Hockey League guys. Adam Ernie and Sam Gagner both recalled. And then last night, Bob said on the broadcast that if Evander Kane plays, Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman will be all out. I would assume Nurse and CeCe come back into the lineup and maybe Bouchard and Ekholm drop out. My first question, will you watch tonight's game?
I'll definitely watch it. Crawford loves watching hockey, so we'll watch it. I was chatting with Rick outside, and his thing he's going to be advocating for, and I totally agree with, is Gagner should wear the C tonight.
Do they do that?
I don't know, but they should.
Can you?
They did it for Ryan Smith, and I think they should do it for Sam Gagner.
It could be Gagner's last NHL game.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
So
I never thought about that.
I think they should do it.
That'd be awesome. I'm for it. Then Gagner's prophecy fulfills itself.
That's true. Sometimes you just need patience on a take.
What's mm-hmm. What did you call it?
So what year would that have been?
Well,
2013.
When we signed Andrew Ferentz, I don't know, 14.
Wanye declared that Sam Gagne was going to be captain 13 for the Edmonton Oilers.
It was very good intel. This is before they signed, before I think Dallas Eakins.
It was before Dallas Eakins.
And before we signed Andrew Ferentz.
So this would make him the 15th then? If he was to get it?
I don't know if they would consider this an official captaincy.
Well, they throw honorable mention. No?
I don't think he would.
I say yes.
Has he ever been a captain for the team?
No.
No.
No, not even an assistant captain.
Oh, maybe an assistant.
Maybe an assistant.
There you go. I think it'd be a good idea to do it.
It's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. I think
that's you want his retirement photo to have that C on it.
I would also love.
I just found a Wanye article from 10 years ago that says all capitals, Sam Gagne to be named
C14.
And so the intel that we got, or that Wanye got, I should say, is normally the exiting captain, Horkoff,
right,
is brought in in terms of like who should be anointed the next captain. And his choice was Gagne.
Oh, they do that.
That was word on the street, yeah.
Interesting. So how old would Gagne have been then? That was 2013-14?
11 years ago.
Well, I never even considered that tonight could be the end.
Look at that.
Wow. Can you zoom in on that C?
No, really.
And I'm not going to name names. Well, maybe I will name names. I don't know. I'm going to say it. I was at a social event after it was, because what happened is we signed Dallas Eakins. And we signed Andrew Ferentz.
Okay.
Both of them really enjoy cycling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Deacon Aikens overrode and made Ferentz the captain.
Biker boys.
And also he's won a cup. There's some other justified things, but we'll just say they're biker boys.
Local guy.
But having said that, I was at a social event and Wanye got lambasted for this and still does to this day.
About this?
About this. Yeah. This is our breaking news. We also broke. And then once again, like through the same channels that Wanye got the Gagne news, Mike Comrie coming back.
In the same.
One was first. The Mike Comrie coming back, that one hit.
Yeah.
So when Wanye put that one out, we were in.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And then sullied it with that. But Bob Stauffer at an event, maybe that in that same season, I think, came up to me and goes, you know, you weren't that far off on the Gagne take. And I'm like, okay, so it tells us like that there was obviously some truth, and then there was an audible called.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice. Maybe he does. I think he should probably get it tonight because everyone else.
Well, they don't have to award a captain tonight, but they just should.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll do like a puck drop in Colorado tonight if they do like their fan appreciation or something. He's the one, I guess, to go and. Go and take it. But I don't know. I think tonight's game is going to be a bit of a slow burn. It's like, do you remember when we had the Christmas party and we went to the Oilers game and it was against Vancouver?
Yeah.
And Devon Shaw was like their first line center. That's what tonight is going to be. Except Vancouver played their real lineup and we still beat.
I have an article to write about tonight's game, Liam. You encourage people to read it.
I would read it because you'll read about Broberg probably having another good game.
I got to do two shows tonight, so yeah.
I thought Dylan Holloway played really well last night. He's going to get elevated minutes. He had a great chance. I think he passed it across to McLeod and it just missed him. He's looked really good. And I know we've spoke about it on many shows before, but like he's basically just pushing his way into the lineup, BM. Like, do you think if you were naming the Oilers playoff lineup today, which might be sounding like they're going to play on Monday and then Thursday?
Per
Jason Gregor, yeah, which is a huge like.
And Pierre LeBrun now.
Yeah, between
LeBrun two also. That, it's because Vancouver and Vancouver and Winnipeg both play Sunday. So then the Oilers, they don't want three Western Canadian teams on the first day of the season.
Whatever, our start times are going to be 9 o'clock anyway.
Probably. Would you play Holloway game one?
It depends, because if he's either top nine or no.
I don't know. I'm starting to believe like he can play on that.
There's a theory bag, Mel, we're working on called two third lines.
Okay.
And you play them accordingly as two third lines.
All right,
I'm done. And that definitely gives room for Holloway. But I think Holloway's making the case. The guy can buzz. He can hit. As long as he does the little things right, which, you know, we've talked about Corey Perry and the veterans there kind of helping with that. And he's been getting, you know, some games in here to help work on that side of things. It's hard. He's a ball of energy, man.
Yes, he flies all over.
He flies, and he's tenacious.
13 minutes and 32 seconds last night, which is the most since returning to the Edmonton Oilers. No shots on goal for him, but was still very effective throughout. And I think another thing, too, like what message does it send if you have a guy that comes in and plays well and then you scratch him when the games really matter?
Eternal competition, man.
Yeah, there you go. That was your Duragod game notes as you always take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. There's not any lines out yet. Aaron is in. No, we haven't seen anything. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta, then you can do it all and count on Duragod Fence, the most highly trained and experienced fence installers, operated the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. Duragod Fence. You want your one-stop shop for over 37 years for chain link wood vinyl fencing. For more information and to request a quote, go to duragodfence.com/ Jeez Louise, duragodfence.ca. Thoughts on that ad read, Jay?
Well, I love how you're mocking yourself during it. Thank you, Duragod, for sponsoring the show. Please call Tyler Remchuk. Mm-hmm. He needs you.
He needs a fence.
Desperately.
God, does he need a fence?
I saw pictures of it. It's terrible.
And I love like the engineering he's using to try to reinforce holding it up. Like it's backwards.
It's a Remchuk operation.
Like base support for something that's tipping at the top. Like it's very wild. Duragod, call him.
Duragod, he needs a fence.
Show up, do the work, send him the bill.
Send him the bill. I wanted to ask you guys some questions because quite frankly, I don't want to talk about tonight's game much more. Because I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay.
Well, why are we doing a Liam's game or something?
We are. We have all Liam's game.
I also prepared three flags just in case.
All right, let's go. Well, yeah.
I also have learned I'm on After Dark tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, you see that? I was curious when I wrote it. I was like, I don't know if BM knows.
Well, let's be honest. Tonight's a nothing burger game. This is a chance for some people that need to sharpen the tools for playoffs to do that. It's also an opportunity for Condors players to come up and get an NHL experience and get some NHL games in. So that's great. No outcome in this game has any like there's no outcome we'd want in this game. We don't care. We just want no one to get hurt. We want everyone to be home safe in their beds at a decent time and start resting up for game one.
If it was a rule where you could recall the entire Condors lineup for this game, I would do that.
Like e-bugs, but like
all the bugs.
E-buds, e-buffs.
E-buds is good.
And D's.
Friends on the ice.
Oh, friends, yeah. Friends, yeah.
E-buds.
Apparently we have a guest today. I just learned about right now. So if we get a link to Mr. Luke Gazdick, Aaron, that would be great.
Let's talk about playoffs with Luke.
Yeah, we'll talk about playoffs with Luke. But before we get to that, I want to do my short for giant question with you guys. And I have three questions, but now I'm going to narrow it down to one question.
Why?
Because we're going to get Luke. And now I don't, maybe I'll ask Luke one of these questions.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So my short for giant question for you guys. Was there one player this entire season, from the start of the season to now, who you have changed your opinion on the most? I'll let Jay.
I know what everyone wants me to think. I know.
BM, do you have one?
That I've changed my opinion on?
Yes.
Connor Brown, because I had him to score 65 points. I mean, that take aged horribly, but
65 points.
I mean, I was like bullish.
Career year.
I was bullish. I had 25 goals for him. He got close. Only missed by 21.
As many goals as Kucherov since the trade deadline.
But that one's not a fair one. Like, I would say Vinny Desharnais.
I was thinking Vinny too.
I kind of had him.
I wasn't sure what he was going to be.
He's just improved significantly with his puck skills year over year that I think that it's admirable the way he's worked on the craft and executed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick Vinny.
The question again?
Is there one player this season that you changed your opinion on that changed your opinion the most? I would have.
This is easy. Because now he's on our team. The worm. Mm.
Yeah. That's a really
he's our worm now.
It's a great one.
Corey Perry, guy we used to hate. Now we love because he's on our team. He was always that guy. Now he's ours. So now it's gone from like a damn it, the worm to the worm.
We love him. I think the one I'm gonna go with, because I think it's Stuart Skinner. Because the start of the season, it was obviously all the question marks. Like he didn't even start game one of the season. Calvin Pickard.
Yeah, also, really Jack Campbell. I came in, I had takes saying, Jack is back. Jack is whack.
They could afford to play him tonight.
I had a dream that they played him.
Don't play him. Yeah, I mean, if there was one game to play him, it's this one, I guess, but it's kind of just an irrelevant one. Was we ready for Luke? Who is one player you want to see step up the most?
To be honest, I'd play Pickard both games.
Yeah. I would too. I would play Pickard tonight for sure. So who's one player you would want to see step up in the playoffs?
Nuge.
They had lucky last night. Kind of weird how they waved that goal on.
They thought it was a goal because what a shot.
Yeah. The rocket.
I think Nuge, like, if he could heat up a little bit, that would make a huge difference in the playoffs.
Warren Fogle gives me big Fernando Pisani vibes.
But he's already kind of doing it. For me, it's Kane, the revival of Kane. Waking up with Kane. That does mean everything, man. He's a factor if he's on.
Okay. Let's get to Luke Gazdick since he's waiting for us right now. Let me find my ad read. We have Luke Gazdick on the Stock Mechanical guest line. Let's just bring him right in, Aaron, since we've been, since he's been waiting. Luke, how you doing? Sorry about the delay.
All good. What's up, boys?
We're not here.
Oh, we can't hear Luke right now. Aaron, if you... Oh.
Oh, he's giving us the finger.
He's giving it...
Not the middle finger, just the... Wait one sec.
Oh, we got you, Luke. Here.
Yeah, can you guys hear
okay,
me?
We can.
Gotcha.
We got you. How you doing?
Good. I mean, it was good on my end. I was just trying to just say I'm good. I don't know why I gave you that finger. Sorry, boys.
I guess the first place we just start is, what did you think of last night's game? The final game in Arizona, obviously a pretty meaningless game for the Oilers, but a lot of meaning in the game overall.
Yeah, I mean, emotional night for that team over there, obviously in Arizona. Sleepy night a bit from the Oilers. I think from that standpoint, that served to look like a huge distraction, honestly, with everything that was going on. I think that kind of filtered over to the Oilers side a little bit, and obviously resting some key guys. I did like the efforts from a couple players, but just looking back on my time, and I was, thinking about it this morning, going to AZ was always one of the coolest things for me. And I know it doesn't even include their fans. It was always just a really cool spot where tons of Alberta Snowbirds came down, and it was always packed with Oiler jerseys. I never got to play at Mullet, but whenever we were up in Glendale, tons and tons of Oiler fans were there cheering us on every night. It was always super cool. And at the very end of the broadcast, Bill Armstrong had brought all the staff out also on the ice to kind of wave goodbye, because, I've been saying this a lot, but this is one of the things I thought about, was the whole business staff that's involved on the Coyotes side that has, no say in organizational decisions, but everything from ticket sales to game day operations to community relations. Like, when I come back to Edmonton, there's still people I rip up off. There's people that I made friends with when I played there that I go and say hi to, that from my time being there, I formed good relationships with. And it's looking like the AHL team is going to stay there, so some of those people might survive. But the emotional message from the radio broadcaster too, and it's just a sad night, man. Like, everyone was just lots of emotional fan, but onward and upward over to Salt Lake City. And I've heard some good things from guys that have played there, and I would sense that the guys are starting to get excited about it. Maybe now, maybe not now after last night, but the initial shock and disappointment wears off. But you got a new owner that's gonna, be a real lane and spend some money on you and not be holding back. And I'm sure some of the players are starting to get excited about the prospect of moving now.
Yeah, that's kind of what Frank was saying too, with the idea of this new owner is a win in that way, that the players are going to be a bit more respected. And then eventually, I think it's inevitable, almost, maybe inevitable is the wrong word, that hockey will come back eventually to the desert, and then these fans will get a more sustainable organization with a new facility, and it's more NHL ready for a team like Arizona, who have a lot of young players coming through, and it would have been great for those fans to be able to see them grow. And now Utah is going to get this young and up and coming team. That's exciting for them. But one player that's obviously young and up and coming for the Oilers, Philip Broberg, made his way back into the lineup yesterday. Did you have any thoughts on what he did in his return?
Yeah, other than the one play on the goal, he didn't look great in the clip, but I thought he looked pretty good. He skates well. That's the reaction I get every time when I watch him play, is that he skates well. Anytime you're going to go down to the minors and play the amount that he did, you're going to gain some confidence with the amount of reps you're getting. And I've talked about this before, but whatever Colin Chalk's doing down there, okay, because he's curating an environment for those Bakersfield guys that's allowing them to feel good and play some hockey. And I've just played in so many American League spots where there's such a disconnect between the American League team and city and the NHL parent club, especially when it's so far away. It's a lot easier when it's in the same city, call it Toronto, Calgary, San Jose. Even when I played in San Diego and Anaheim was an hour and a half down the road, the brass is there all the time monitoring and watching. And I don't know. I played in spots too, where when you play far away, you really feel far away, and it's not great all the time. But Dylan, since he's come back up, has played outstanding. Tough to judge Philip on one game, but I always noticed the skating ability. And I mean, he snowed the goalie once in front of the net, and I don't know if that was on purpose, but I was laughing a bit at that. I was like, kid's got a little bit of attitude. I like to see it. But yeah, it's tough to judge off one game, but certainly I really will hope that, if something happens down the line and they have to put him in, I'm hoping and trusting that he can do a job. Every team that I've kind of gone over in the last number of years that's won a Stanley Cup has had a defenseman that can play and you can plug in there. Vegas is a perfect example of that. So whether it's Troy Stetcher or Roby, if you have to put him in, I think Knobloch is pretty confident in what they can give to the team.
Do you think, I think Broberg must be developing the largest chip on his shoulder. So maybe that snow was intentional, because it's just, I gotta show that I care. I gotta show that I want to compete. But to shift gears, what are your thoughts on Dylan Holloway? Has he been pushing the coach to kind of force the decision to have him dress for game one?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I never like to overlook what he's done in the last couple games. But in saying that, it just has been a couple games, and I think he's done an excellent job at that. It's definitely put pressure on Knobs to kind of think about what he's going to do. But in my opinion, and from my end, he starts out. I also factor in the job that the guys on the fourth line have done all year. And we're talking about an 82 season for guys like Brownie and Matias. And I like the way the fourth line played last night. You can see that they're hungry. They don't want to go anywhere. None of those guys want to get scratched for the playoffs. And outside of getting scored on their first shift, Sammy took a pretty hard hit from the big tuna there from O'Brien. And then he goes back and puts it in their net. And I thought they had a great response, right? They come back like two shifts later and get a goal. And, that's not easy to do, man. Like, I was such a, I might've just got canceled for the term I was going to use, but mentally, like early in the season or early in games, if I made a mistake, it was so hard to get me back. And I didn't play that much anyway, that I don't know. I just felt like if I made like an egregious mistake where it was like my fault and my fault alone on a goal, it was really, really hard for me to like put that aside and just continue on. It was actually, you know, something I really struggled with over my career. And so to go back out, especially on a fourth line, when you know that you're not going to have a ton of ice time, I got a lot of respect for that. Them going back and scoring a goal. So for my money, what Dylan's done has been really, really good. And I think he is the immediate plug-in guy. I think also if they would have started versus a team like Vancouver or Nashville, not that that would have worked out in any way, but a lot of scenarios, I think he plays. But because it's Vegas, and I think if it was LA, I think you stay a little heavier. And I think the way that line and the bottom of the lineup is shaking out, man, I'm like struggling saying it now, but I don't think he starts in for me.
I don't know what side of the fence I'm on, to be honest, because I completely agree with you. Like Yamok, Brown, Carrick have all had really good seasons, but obviously Holloway brings like the offensive element to it as well. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see until Monday what happens. But one other guy who scored his 20th goal of the season last night, a career high, Warren Fogle. We were having a bit of a debate what he's going to do this summer. He's a UFA. Would you bring back Fogle or would you let him go?
Oh, man. I didn't know you were going to go that area with the question, because when I was listening before, you guys were talking about like a surprise playoff performer. It depends on the turret. It depends on the number, right? So, for example, we're doing a thing on the Hockey Central show tonight, kind of prediction wise. And the thing was to pick a secondary player that is not a star, that is not a prototypical, you know, first line player that is going to have a big performance. And my producer said, think Ivan Barbashev. So I went back and looked at Fogle's numbers versus Barbashev's numbers and his draft and everything. And there it's in, including age and everything, it's like stunningly similar. And I'm not saying that it's the same thing or Fogle's is going to end up with 5x5, which is what Barbashev got, but he might be due for a payday. Someone might be willing to pay that. And I don't think it makes sense for the Oilers, to be honest. 20 goals is a good number. Don't get me wrong. Man, he's had a great career. I just don't know if they can. It's a lot of term and a lot of money. I'd have to see. It'd be easier for me to see kind of what the numbers were, but if it's something that high, like a 5x5, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
Time and money.
Yeah, it is high money. Yeah. Hey, if Fogle's going to score 50 next season, we'll take him back. But obviously, no guarantee on that. And that's the problem, isn't it? Like, what is he going to get 20 goals again? I mean, he's had a fantastic season with Edmonton, but he's done nothing else to prove in the past that he could kind of get to that point, right?
Hey, I think a lot of this it weighs out on the playoffs, too. Like, if he has an incredible, incredible playoff run, I think is essentially on the line here, and he knows that. Like, he can bump his value up so much in the next, call it a couple weeks, couple months, whatever, however long the run's going to last. But if he goes out there and proves that he can produce not only in the regular season, but he can be a factor in the playoffs, how do you say no to that, right? Like, if this is a team that wants to win and win now, especially with the contract situations with 97 coming up, like, you need guys that are going to not only help you in the regular season, but are going to score and help you in the playoffs. And not, you know, we don't want to see goose eggs across the board for I like Warren in the playoffs. So I think he has a great opportunity to cash in per se, but I think a lot of it's dependent on his performance in the playoffs, whether they bring him back.
I actually think he had a really good playoffs last time around too, considering everybody else fell asleep in front of him besides McDavid and Draisaitl. He did step up. I think he got a goal in game six as well. But I got a couple more questions for you, Luke, and then we'll let you go. And I just asked these guys this question too. Is there one player this season who your opinion has changed the most on, whether it be good or bad?
Great question. I love these year-end questions. Is there one player that's my opinions on? You know what? I'll give it to Ryan McLeod. Clouder started for me as a guy at the beginning of this season that I just thought was a perimeter player. He could skate fast, but didn't think the game that well. And I think he's come a long way in establishing himself as, call it a checking forward. I understand he's a first rounder and you probably, you know, want a little production out of him, but his production necessarily hasn't been that bad. He has been outstanding shorthanded. He's turned into a really, really good penalty killer for this team. I was watching him just a bit last night, kind of ice swing on their PK and what they're trying to do. And he's just a big part of that. And I say that because I just think there's so much more room to grow for him too. Like, I think he's just scratching the surface. And I just, earlier in the year, I don't want to say I wasn't sold on him, but when he wasn't scoring, when they were trying to figure out if he's going to play center or the wing, it was kind of a tryout period for him. And when Knobs took over, it just seemed like things started to click. And I've really liked his game as of late. I still think he can be more engaged sometimes. I still think he can be more physical, but man, you skate that fast and you play the way he does most of the time. That's a good thing. So I'll say it's Clouder for me.
Yeah. I think too, coming into the season, he obviously had his injury. It took him forever to score a goal. And it does feel like from that Winnipeg game onwards where he scored on the empty net, he's just really been able to find his game, whether it's as a centerman or on the wing with Leon Draisaitl too. But my last question, Luke, what is the playoff series you're looking forward to watching the most? We'll exclude Edmonton out of this one because that's an easy way out.
Toronto, Boston, baby. I'm here in the city versus the team that they cannot beat. Haven't beaten him in 3 years. Haven't beaten him in the playoffs since 1959. There is a bit of a different feeling about this Toronto team. They don't take any crap anymore. And for me to come on and say that for a guy who played that way, everyone thinks we're Toronto homers here, and especially on Sportsnet and stuff, we're harder on them than anybody. And me included in that. And they just, for Living's kind of revamped their roster to the point now where I'm like this team, they compete. If scrums are 5-on-5, they're not 1-on-5 anymore. The chorus still drives me absolutely nuts. Like Willie Nylander has just disappeared since he signed his contract. He's completely taken the last 10 games off, but I love this matchup. Original six, a team that they want to exercise the demons against. And it's a time where if there's any time better than this, I think this is a Toronto roster that can take this Boston team down, but history doesn't do them any favors with that. So I'm a little biased based on location for that one. There's another couple great ones. Jets Avs will be great. Battle Florida will be great. I'm privy to Living here in Toronto and ready to get hurt again with the rest of the city.
The first round is always fantastic, and we'll talk about it with you next week, Luke. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Go Oil.
There you go. Luke Gazdick on the Star Mechanical guest line. Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They've been working within the community for over 20 years, and many homes built in Edmonton over the last two decades have had their plumbing and heating systems installed by Star Mechanical. Visit starmechanical.ca to schedule an appointment and let them keep your home running smoothly. There you go. Luke Gazdick. What did you think? Anything he said that you
took away from? I was actually shocked on his McLeod take. Yeah.
I just thought he made me feel incredibly smart.
With the Fogel stuff. The Bobashev one is an interesting one.
How you have a tough time comparing those two?
Me too.
Eye test very wise. Hard time. Maybe numbers wise you can, but eye test wise. Bobashev is a horse.
I just think too, like
Fogel could be a horse. He's thick. Yeah. And he sometimes shows some of that. Like maybe he steps up and brings that element to his game. But like he's fast. He can hit. He's got the tools.
Yeah, I just think about Bobashev. So they traded Zach Dean, so essentially a first round pick to get Bobashev. I think if that was flip, no one would give you a first round pick for Fogel. You know what I mean? Like if the Oilers were in that situation last year, I don't think they could have got that value for him. But
yeah,
Fogel's a really good player. I wouldn't pay him anywhere close.
How many goals has he scored with Draisaitl?
With Draisaitl, I don't know. The bulk of his goals came from there. I think we figured out yesterday, two goals, not at 5-5.
So you should be paying Draisaitl a commission if he stays here.
Well, yes. That's for the reason.
He has more goals than Bobashev this year. Fogel.
But does Barishev play on Draisaitl?
He plays on Vegas' first line.
Yeah, but is Draisaitl on that line?
No, he is not.
I don't think he is.
That was all weirdly similar. But either way, let's get into Liam's game. Maybe Ivan Barishev is one of the answers. He's definitely not, because he never played for the Oilers. But also, this game is from yesterday. So these two players...
So connects to Arizona.
Arizona, not Edmonton. I didn't have time. So Aaron, if you want to swing up the first one.
Aaron, here's the first one.
So they played for both teams.
They played for both teams. BM, have you played this game
before? I've never played before. I'm excited.
Oh, I suck at it.
Yes.
I've gotten one right.
Is the answer or Igor Ulanov?
No. But maybe that'll be next week's answer, because that's right. Already to Jay, and he didn't guess it the week after with Mark Fistrick. Okay, let's swing up the first one. So these players that have come on for this rule, for this game, for this day, whatever it is, they both played for Arizona and Edmonton, and they played no sooner than 2000 to today.
Okay.
The first one is
As an Oiler.
Gotcha.
Okay. Actually, in this case, both of them played within that time.
First person to get the easy one gets in the draw. Then there's a hard one. We have three. Spin the wheel. First one, easy one?
Yes. Okay, here we go. I played for six NHL teams. I'm a former seventh round pick by the Sharks. My career started in 2009. I played 700 games in the NHL. I am an Olympian.
Mike Smith.
That's a good call. I am an Olympian.
So remember, they play it.
Lubomir Vyshnovsky?
No, it's not Wisnowski. Did he play for Arizona?
I don't know. No. I kind of had a feeling that he did.
A bunch of people got it in the chat already.
Who is it?
Any last guesses?
Oh, jeez. He was an Olympian?
Jason DeMers.
Wow, I don't remember.
He was an Olympian?
He played when he went to the KHL. He played on the Canada Olympic team.
Oh,
so that, when there was no NHL players that he went.
Oh, dirty. Oh,
you rascal.
Dirty, dirty, dirty. All
you
right.
You rascal. Well,
chat, a lot of smart people in the chat.
He was an Oiler, technically.
Yeah, one game, 10 minutes. The first one.
Now I understand how cheeky you are at Liam's game.
Yeah, okay, that's the easy first one.
That's the easy one?
That was the easy one.
Oh, come on.
You should get this, BM. We just did this on
all right,
Nation Radio.
The same day. Question?
Well, we did Dan's 3v3, and we had to pick three former Oilers and Coyotes.
Okay, so Ryan Sherp's in the draw. Here's the hard one.
Here's a hard one. I still play pro hockey today.
Pro hockey.
Played almost 300 games. I played for North Dakota in the NCAA.
Oh, I know this one.
Drake
Kajula.
Ah, was that too obvious?
That's the easiest
one. Yeah, that's easy. North Dakota's giveaway.
Well...
Wait for it to come flying in the chat. We still got to give away a nation gift card.
Oh, shit. Is it? Did we get it before the chat?
No. I didn't finish the clues.
Well, dude, why? Why?
I did Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, former coach of the Flames against
Daryl Sutter gets it. Well, do we have a flag, Aaron?
Oh, I got flagged.
Okay, I'll put Daryl Sutter in the chat just because he...
Oh, now we're going to do flags?
And now we'll do a flag.
So you don't want us to jump quick on the flags? You want us to stay mum on it? Or...
Oh, yeah,
because normally Tyler... will whisper the answer to you.
Yeah.
I'm not used to actually knowing the answer. So I was very excited.
I also think you'll be better at the flag game.
What's that?
You're well-traveled. I think you'll be okay.
I think I'm okay at it.
Okay.
All right. I've got three flags.
So we'll put the flag up. Just give it like 5 seconds for people to see and then they can get their answer.
Okay.
So right now we do have Ryan Sharp and I put Daryl Sutter in the draft.
So there's three flags. So three additional. I only have five people on the wheel.
We'll have five people.
Can the wheel handle that kind of weight?
The wheel, we did 10 on the wheel.
Wheel can do whatever you want. Yeah. The wheel to do.
All right.
Wheel's like got a lot of strength.
All right. The flag game. Your first flag.
Okay.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. Got it. BM?
Yes. I can hear you whisper that.
Oh, could you? Oh, damn. Look at the chat.
And you're correct.
Well, I know I'm right.
Okay. I got to wait for the chat to see if I get anything.
There's going to be a lot of people that think it's a certain place, but it's not.
So I want to say it's my gut.
Has someone got it?
Tons of people.
So I'm not looking at the chat.
But
I'm
trying
not
to. Right,
I can't even see the chat.
I'm wanting to say Greece, but the sun is not Greece.
It's not
definitely not Greece.
And there's a cross in Greece.
Very close, though, to Greece.
So I'm out. I'm going to say Croatia.
I can see people thinking it's Argentina.
The first guess was Argentina, but it is actually Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Is it? They got a fun little sun on their flag. That's fun.
Louise GM.
And he spelt it right. I need correct spelling.
Louise GM 96.
Okay, all right, next one.
The other two. Got it. I think
pretty sure that is the flag outside of Abercrombie and Fitch.
That is a don't go in the water flag because there is a riptide.
Yes. That is stay.
I see it.
Beach closed.
Yeah, it's not Qatar with a K, but instead
Qatar
with a Q. Wise Kyle, but Wise Kyle won last week, so I'm putting Andrew in the draw.
Wise Kyle can't win anymore.
Twice.
Yeah, he's won too much.
Okay, last one.
Final one.
Andrew E.
Is that
Jay?
Yeah, I want to say this one. I've been to this country. This is Malaysia.
You can say it.
This is Malaysia.
It is Malaysia. There you go. No one guessed it yet, actually. Oh, there we go. No, we got a couple in. They all came in at the same time. Andrew got it? Oh, yeah. Different Andrew, though.
Yeah, done.
Okay, let me write down that name, and then we can move on. Do you want to spin the wheel,
Jay? Educating the masses.
Oh, I already span it. Sorry.
Span it? Is that a word?
It is now.
Past test span?
Andrew.
Spun.
E is the winner. Email Tyler. Because he knows how to do the nation
giveaway. Tyler at thenationnetwork.com.
Double N.
It'll look weird when it's written down, but send it anyway.
It makes sense. Okay. The moment Jay has been waiting for the entire show. The Betway Challenge.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I had a big one yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
I had a big one yesterday. I'm chasing the dragon tonight. Let's go.
With Betway, you can win up to $200 if you lose your first bet. Create an account, scan the QR code on the screen, and redeem your bonus.
I jumped Tyler, didn't I?
You did.
I'm coming for you. All right. Did you hit last night?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I
but did. It was a weak one.
Bye, Bagwell.
It was a weak one, yeah. Place a bet, and if you bet loses, you can get refunded up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite teams. Offer only available outside of Ontario. Here we go.
Okay. Yep.
There it is. Jay is now up on Tyler by just shy of a full unit. And tonight, Tyler's
plus money. You could ride the roller coaster with me, and you come make a little bit of money.
A little bit of money. Well, I'll go with mine. I'm going to go with a Warren Fogle tonight, plus 250, purely because he's probably going to play on the first line. So he's going to get a lot of opportunities. So I'll go with that. You're going with Connor Brown. I'm assuming a similar reasoning.
Well, I need to chase the juice.
Yeah.
And he's going to get some ice time. Yes. So that's why I went deep into the trenches and went Connor Brown goal.
Power play empty net.
Power play in an empty net goal. Like kind of safe, kind of not safe. I really don't know what to
expect. I feel like game. By his choice of bet, I've solidified second place.
I think so too. I'm
trying to do the math here. I'm not good at it.
Well, I think power play goal might be hard to come by tonight because no one's going to play. I don't think Colorado is going to play anybody. We're not going to play anybody.
Are they even going to pull the goalie? Like, I'm surprised Edmonton pulled the goalie last night.
Me too. I think they just did it.
Honestly, like part of me is just like, I'm just like, let's just like make it maybe competitive for a bit and just like Phoenix should win.
They had to win that game.
Yeah.
They had
like, what do we care?
It felt like to me, when they pulled the goalie, it was almost like, let's practice this. If we have to do it in the playoffs, like, can we hold this for 5 minutes? But there you go. The Betway Challenge. If you win and I lose, I win.
Yeah, I can't catch.
Yeah, so I didn't go.
I was trying to think of because I didn't want to tie anything because to make a big money bet, you need like outcome and over. I didn't want to. Yeah. I didn't want to play any of that.
I think it's just a simple.
I don't know if the Edmonton's going to win. Like just like Colorado. Like I don't know if they're going to win. Like
I'm riding with you on that. There's no way Connor Brown doesn't score tonight to end the season. It just has that feel.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of opportunity.
That was my logic with Fogle. We'll wrap up the show with the menu presented by DoorDash. Tonight's probably a good night to get some double dash DoorDash for you. DoorDash is an amazing selection of local gyms and the staples you need in a hurry. You can try something new and get your favorite comfort dish delivered right to your door for a limited time. Our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code nation 25, all caps. Not a lot of going on in the NHL tonight. I guess actually kind of some implications for the Oilers if Vegas lose and LA win. Oilers will play LA.
Let's be honest. We're playing Vegas. We're playing Vegas. Like, so neither of those teams wants to face Dallas in the first round. So they're both going to win tonight.
The only thing
you effed it up royally.
Well, I don't even.
Now we got to slay the dragon first round, which I don't mind because you slay the dragon the first round. Like that gives you that.
You're sky high after that. You're rolling.
It's like what they said about coffee yesterday when the Oilers were going through, and granted, they had Stanley Cups to back them up, but they were like, we didn't care. We played. We knew we had to beat everyone to win anyway.
Like hopefully so Petro's still he's still a bit banged up, I think. Right. But
is he
playing tonight?
I don't think so. But also
there's
this gap that they're
getting out of the way to Gazdick's point too. Right. That's the best time to play him.
The Mark Stone thing. Cause they can activate him tomorrow.
And they will.
They probably will. God. What do you think of that gap? Like Monday to Thursday, the games. That brutal. Seems really weird. Why? It's usually like games four and five.
I want to know what they're trying to accommodate. There's no NBA in Vegas.
Nope, nothing.
This is the home games in Edmonton. Like, what do we have? Like, is there a concert on?
I looked. There's nothing. Luke Bryan's in town tonight, and then there's nothing until the 5th.
So then what the hell are we talking about here?
Doesn't make any sense.
It must be for television. It must be because of other matchups. It has to be. So what do I think about two games in between? I mean, this goes for both sides, a statement, but if someone gets nicked up in game one, like more time, but like that, It just gives Mark Stone more time. It gives Petro more time. Like, guys already banged
Petro
up.
Will not play tonight.
No. It's,
and this is a big game for them. So, like, that's a signal.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he might, maybe he doesn't play game one, but game one is until Monday. So,
and Chicago last season eliminated Calgary and Pittsburgh from playoffs.
But Vegas is playing Anaheim, aren't they?
No, Vegas plays Chicago. Oh, no, sorry. You're right. Yeah. Vegas is playing.
Yeah, I'm more, I actually think LA's got a greater chance to lose.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Well, but it's also Jacob Silverberg's last game in the NHL. Yeah.
What a player that's just got forgotten.
So there's something, there could be something there.
Playing for something. We saw it last night.
Cutter Gauthier's playing his one of his first or second NHL games, too.
Interesting. So interesting.
Some layers. You want to go out with some pride?
Go Ducks. Win the game. The Ducks tonight. Let's
get,
go.
Get the green light in Vegas. Maybe. Maybe not a bad idea, but there you go. That's a wrap.
In Vegas?
It's in Vegas. Yeah, they're both at home.
What do you mean get the green light? If they get the win, they get the green light? It's the last game of the year. It's
yeah, but maybe they'll be light. Like, we're going home right after the
they're
game.
They're like, no, you're playing. See ya. We're going to stay here for a few days. Don't worry.
Maybe the coaches will go
That's
out.
That's the best them. Possible place to end your season.
Yeah, it's flashing green light regardless of outcome.
Maybe they get to
for
go to
a non-playoff team.
Knights of the Round Table.
They've got, they got that book. They probably got 14 rounds of golf, bottle service at Hockey Sand. They got it just locked and loaded. They're young. They're going to rip it up. So maybe they want to do it on a high.
Yeah, exactly. Want to have some fun in Vegas. But there you go. That's a wrap on Oilers Nation. Every day, tomorrow, Tyler will have Kyle Bukauskas. We have an episode of the Real Life Podcast coming up right away here, too. So, and then pre-gaming with Boltsy.
We got some pre-gaming tonight. We got some post-gaming. I believe it's me and Bread for pre-gaming. Might have a DFO guest to kind of preview the NHL playoffs. Mm. Then I have Bag Milk for post-game, who just discovered that by reading me putting that in the YouTube chat. So that'll be good. And I might do my, I've saved a couple of receipts from earlier this season when
good.
It was really dark days and I wanted to one day.
Want to air them out?
Kind of want to air some grievances out. I got a lot of
your
problems.
Own or of people in the chat?
No, with people in the chat and people on YouTube, people on Twitter. And this game doesn't really matter all that much.
No,
so
I'm
grasping at straws to fill 2 hours air time tonight.
Rip the group.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think it's all good fun.
And also the group's invited to rip you. It's a
They've been doing that all year. They've been doing that all year.
Maybe they have receipts on you.
Oh, wait,
what time does that start?
If it's 7:30 tonight, it's
6:30. All right, there you go. So catch Aaron at 6:30, and we will catch you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.